Walking through Nisky Hill Cemetery, I come upon a marker. Several seashells are settling on the moist ground. A memory. And then I imagine her faintly youthful voice saying, "It was that Brittany blue and pale yellow flowered dress that made people notice me. I'm rather sheepish, and yet I was filled with life wishes. I was only 9, after all." Born in 1886, she lived in a modest house on Church Street, only moments away from the Gemeinhaus. She recalled the spirit of that early childhood of Central Moravian Church Christmas vigils and the music of Bach, later in chats with Sigmund Freud, and in her memoir, A Gift. This year we celebrate the 57th anniversary of the death of Hilda Doolittle, and incidentally the 132nd anniversary of her birth. Her innovative and experimental poetry and prose established her as a leading modernist in early 19th century literature. When H.D. died in 1961 in Zurich, following a stroke, her ashes were returned to Nisky Hill Cemetery in Bethlehem. In 2015, Lehigh University granted H.D. an honorary degree, as well as hosting the international conference entitled H.D. and Feminist Poetics. And now we have a year of H.D. A 12-month-long public exploration of the life and work of poet Hilda Doolittle, culminating in a new play by Mock Turtle Marionette Theatre in October of 2019. A year of H.D. kicks off this Wednesday, November the 14th, with a public reading of H.D.'s work presented at the Bethlehem City Hall Rotunda at 7 to 9 p.m., 10 East Church Street in Bethlehem. You are tuned to Lehigh Valley Art Salon, WDIY 88.1 Lehigh Valley Public Radio. I remain George Miller, and along with my wife and co-host Kate Scuffle, we today chat with Jenny Gilrain, coordinator of Finding H.D. and director of the Doug Royston world premiere play, and with Lehigh University professor and H.D. scholar and co-founder of Lehigh University Southside Initiative. Welcome. What an exciting project you have put together.
Seth Moglen is the name you skipped over there.
Oh, did I?
People do that to me all the time. I don't know what it is about
me. Should have skipped over my name. And I'm sorry, it's Seth Moglen. I'm very sorry.
But welcome. Well, it's easy thing to do, given that we were just talking before we came on the air, that is a year I don't think will be enough for all, not only what you've all got lined up, but for the richness, the complexity, the story of H.D., not only her roots here in Bethlehem and how that affected her, but her impact on literature. And just as a feminist and as a woman of our time.
Yeah, I mean, it's really thrilling for Jenny and I and Doug Royston and all of us involved in the Finding H.D. project to have this year to share with the people of Bethlehem this remarkable woman who is so central to the life of our city and to the history of modern literature.
So how did this really come about? What were the initial movings of this particular event?
Well, after the Women's March in 2016, this is really Doug Royston's inspiration. He felt the need to do a play about women and featuring women, performed by women. So he came to the Lehigh University English department. He was originally going to do a play about Emily Dickinson, who's one of my favorites. So he at some point asked me if I would join him, and I said definitely. And the Lehigh English department had another idea, and I'll let Seth talk about that.
Well, when Doug explained his idea for the play, I said, well, we should do H.D. We have this brilliant feminist visionary born and raised in the city of Bethlehem who transformed the writing of modern poetry. And who had a deep and lifelong vision about the way in which human societies could only be healed when men could recognize the full equality and the divinity of women.
Woo! And, yes!
And I said, let's do it. And I didn't actually know that Doug and Jenny would take it that seriously, but they ran with it.
Well, when Doug came to me and said, okay, we're not doing Emily Dickinson anymore, I was like, oh, no. He's like, we're doing HD. And I'm like, H who?
Really?
So, yeah, I mean, I was totally clueless. So I am 6 months old with HD, really.
Okay.
I mean, he came to me and I'm going to be completely honest. I went and looked up some of her work, and I was, it took me a while. I thought it was cold and sharp and pointed, and it was hard for me to embrace, maybe because it was so pointy, you know, prickly. But I'm telling you, the more that I looked, the more that I read, the more at first confused I was, and then the more interested I was, and then I just, it's like there's no end to the depth of this woman's thoughts and words. And my favorite of her work is The Most Crazy, which is her novel called Hermione. Mm. I mean, in my opinion, I haven't read everything, but the crazier the better at this point for me.
It's interesting you would use those words, though, those adjectives to describe your first impressions. Seth, you can speak to this better than I. If I recall, I think it was Ezra Pound who first, who she had an intense relationship with on many levels, but who also promoted her work when she was very young, would describe it very much that way, that he thought it was edged and hard and bright and clear in ways that one maybe did not expect of a woman poet at the time.
Yes, I think
or Victorian
that's,
poetry, or
I think that's true. And the early poetry focuses often on descriptions of nature, but in ways that are radically defamiliarizing. You're totally surprised by the thing that you're encountering. But at her heart, H.D. was also a mystic. Almost everything which H.D. wrote is operating at many levels at once. Mm-hmm. And often, I think one of the reasons we often have the feeling that Jenny describes is that you can feel that something mystical is happening right beneath the surface. Yeah. And at first, you're not sure what that is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about, just prior to this interview, I was thinking about the title, Finding H.D. Well, the secret is, we're never going to find H.D. I mean, I really think it's impossible to hold on to her. She's always like, you follow her, and it's interesting, another HD scholar locally, Jenny Heist, who was a student of Seth's actually, when Doug and I met with her and we were trying to figure out who this woman is, Jenny said, you know what, with HD, way leads on to way. And that's a Robert Frost quote, meaning, you know, you're never, she's like a butterfly. You try to catch her and she just changes direction. She hops to another flower, you know, or a wild horse. You're never going to be able to ride her. She's always going to take you in another direction.
So, which brings me back to, interestingly, it would make sense to open a year of finding HD with what we're doing Wednesday evening, which will be a night at the Rotunda with reading her work and folks from the community, poets, full teachers, other artists. But now in the light of that, Jenny, it makes it all the more, I guess, important. It's almost like we need the immersion right away to get thrown into the work and then work through it the rest of the year, in a sense.
Yeah, and you know what I'm loving about this project, just having kind of fallen into it, is that one of our goals in the project is to really model community exploration through art. You know, it's not about the experts. It's about the ignorance. The ignorant people like me diving in and going, ooh, I like this one, and I'm going to read it. I don't really get it, but that doesn't matter. I like it. I not only like it, I love it, and I want to share it with you. And then, you know, the next person and the next person. That's what's happening on Wednesday, the day after tomorrow, at the Rotunda, which is the very spot where H.D. lived. Her house is gone, but I think her spirit is still there.
Is
and she'll
really
be hovering.
Actually the Rotunda?
The very spot. It's at the Rotunda.
Oh, my gosh, she would have loved that. I'm 6 minutes into this, and I know she would have loved it.
And, you know, I wanted to ask Seth to repeat something he said to me. At one point, I was looking back at what Lehi did in 2015, and I was getting very scared and intimidated. I just said to myself, who do you think you are? I mean, I know nothing. And he wrote an email back to me.
So one of the things I really wanted to communicate to Jenny is that this kind of community-based exploration of literature is absolutely indispensable to the future of the humanities and to the future of literature in our society. Mm. Literature is just way too important to be understood as a sort of specialized activity that one set of experts, whom we call professors, teach to students during a small period of their lives. For literature to thrive and to have a proper transformative effect, it needs to be something which permeates communities. And part of what's really exhilarating about the project, and one reason I really encourage people to come out on Wednesday night to City Hall, is you're going to hear all kinds of people. Yes, there will be some poets and some professors there, but all sorts of community members, people from City Hall, public officials, reading something of HDs and talking about why it matters to them. Hmm. And this project is really about returning HD to the community that gave her birth, and to the community about which, to be honest, she has more to say than any single figure I know. HD had her sort of finger on the pulse of this city and what it means. And I think in the course of the year, one of the things that we have an opportunity to do is to learn from her about who we are.
Yeah. I wanted to say something about our partners, because toward that goal of engaging the community in this exploration, when Doug and I sat down, I said, well, you know, who do we really want to be our strongest partners in designing this exploration, or, you know, forging the path? And so the four main partners are the Bethlehem Area Public Library, and they have been tremendous, so generous, and such great ideas. One of the cool things that's happening is an HD portrait contest, and then there's going to be, the library is going to commission a painter to paint HD's portrait, and then that portrait will hang in the lobby of the library in place of one that's been there for many years. So that's really exciting. So the Bethlehem Area Public Library is one partner. Mock Turtle Marionette Theater, which is Doug's company, is our second partner, of course. And the exploration will end with the premiere of a new play by Doug Royston and directed by me. And our third partner, of course, is Lehigh University. And it's been such a pleasure working with Seth Moglen and Mary Foltz in particular. Our fourth partner, who I think is really key, and that is the Bradbury Sullivan LBGT Community Center in Allentown. And Liz Bradbury has been a wonderful link to that organization, and she will be one of our readers the day after tomorrow, the evening after tomorrow.
I just can't stress enough how much, I don't think even in the little bit of time we're going to have today, the programming that's still evolving and laid out is not only the portrait, the reading Wednesday night. We're going to be going to a break soon, but I'd love to talk more about the library talks and some of the conversations that are going to be going on when you talk about the community rediscovering HD and her coming back kind of to home with us and telling us something about ourselves.
Mm. Well, we'll speak more with you and out there as listeners. We will have more of Hilda Doolittle, her family tree, her writings, and the events within moments following this salient message.
Spread the word about your business or organization to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR News and locally produced programs reaches thousands of engaged listeners in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable and effective way to provide information about your product and services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, 610-694-8100, extension 6, or WDIY.org.
Her grandfather, Francis Wally, had invented a paper bag-making machine, and he was principal of the Moravian Seminary for Young Ladies. His brother, Augustus Wally, helped to create and assemble the Saucon Iron Company, a predecessor to Bethlehem Steel. And, of course, Francis Wally's son, Fred, founded the Bach Festival. What a family tree.
And the Bach Choir as well. I mean, they're so, it was amazing to me. I had just had no idea that H.C. herself's family would be so woven with the story of Bethlehem and also with the Moravian story of Bethlehem. Mm.
Yeah, I'm actually just in the middle of trying to finish a book about the history of Bethlehem from its founding to the present. And H.D. is, in a way, the central figure in that book because her family moves in every direction through the history of the city. Her on her mother's side, her family were among the earliest founders of the city of Bethlehem, arriving here in the late 1740s. They played a central role in the evolution of Moravian life here, in addition to all of the things you've already heard about. It's also true that H.D.'s father was the first professor of astronomy and mathematics at Lehigh, the result of which is that H.D.'s family is central to the Moravian portion of our history, to the Bethlehem Steel, and to the university. Mm-hmm. There's really no major institution in the city of which their family wasn't a central participant.
And how did, for her, and I think it'll be interesting, as you, again, for this year-long journey for this community, she moved when she was nine, when father went to work for the University of Pennsylvania. Not far, down to the Philly suburbs. But those 9 years and that family connection to the community so influenced her work, her life, her worldview, the idea of a gift, idea that you receive that and have an obligation to that.
And one of the things that's really remarkable about H.D.'s life is that although, as you say, she left here when she was really just about 10 years old, she wrote about Bethlehem and obsessed about Bethlehem all of her life, and literally to the day that she died, over and over and over again, and especially of moments of crisis or transformation in her life. She was drawn again to make sense of the meaning of the city. And some of the programming that we have coming up is intended to help people begin to understand why that was true. For example, the distinguished historian and Moravian theology professor Craig Atwood is going to talk about the Moravian roots of H.D. My colleague Mary Foltz is going to be talking about H.D.'s role as an outspoken bisexual woman in the early 20th century and the richness of her exploration of that in her works. Christy Royston is going to lead a panel discussion about H.D.'s relationship to the natural world. And we'll have other events in the course of the year, including a session that I'll be doing with this former student of mine, Jenny Highest, on falling in love with H.D. and a walking tour in which people will visit some of the places that shaped H.D.'s life so centrally as she was growing up over on Church Street.
One of the things that I absolutely love that drew me to her work, especially in reading Hermione, the novel, is her constant reference to trees, really. Mm. Flowers, but especially trees. She seemed to know so much, like a scientist level knowledge of trees, especially trees of Pennsylvania. And that's why in this panel discussion that's going to happen on April 16th, we have engaged Louise Schaefer, who is a horticulturist with Edge of the Woods Native Plant Nursery. And then in honor of H.D.'s father and his knowledge of the stars as a professor of astronomy at Lehigh, and H.D. incorporating all her knowledge gained from her father as well as her knowledge of the Greeks and all the mythology around the heavens, we have Gary DeLeo, he's a professor of physics at Lehigh University, and then finally Marilyn Hazelton, a local poet, and that's the panel that's going to be discussing H.D. and the natural world. And I just think it's so cool that we're talking about the heavens and the earth, and she used both of those as metaphors.
Mm-hmm. And interesting, another way to involve folks in the community that are on similar journeys themselves. And the mapping project. There's a mapping project. Can you tell me a little bit about that? I know the dates are still shaping up.
That's going to happen next fall, year from now, in the lead up to the stage performance of the play that Jenny is directing and that Doug Royston is writing. This was really the vision, the projection mapping was really the vision of Josh Burke at Bethlehem Area Public Library, who had this brilliant idea, which was, if we're going to bring HD home to Bethlehem, and if we want the people of Bethlehem to know her, we need to find a dramatic way to introduce people to her. And so the concept is that Josh is arranging to bring some projection technology so that people will start to see around the city of Bethlehem, projected on some very large buildings, pictures of HD, little excerpts from her poetry. So don't be alarmed. you should be excited next September, next October, as you begin to see HD returning to us in various unexpected parts of our community.
Oh, that's fabulous.
And in particular, Josh's office at the Bethlehem Area Public Library on Church Street is on the second floor. It's a beautiful view of South Bethlehem, but out his eastern window, he looks directly at this kind of drab wall, which is the site of City Hall. So his dream is to project HD's beautiful face, you know, from young to old, and a picture of her home that once stood right in that spot. Wonderful. Where City Hall now is.
And HD would have loved this. HD was a great believer in ghosts and in the presence of the spirits of the past. Mm. And I think she would have loved to feel that she was returning in this slightly spectral manner to our city.
Her grandmother would have loved this.
Yes.
I had read in one of the bibliographies somewhere along the line that she was also very intrigued with T.S. Eliot's automatic writing as well, which is just as mysterious and mystic as anything.
She was, and H.D. was a great voyager into the unconscious. She was like Eliot and like her partner Breyer. Yeah. H.D. was profoundly interested in the new science of psychoanalysis and in the promise of a form of inquiry that could enable us to come into contact with the unconscious portions of our own minds. Her work with Freud was central to enabling her to overcome a kind of crippling writer's block in middle age, after which she produced much of her most important work. Mm-hmm. But that interest in automatic writing was related to HD's interest in the question of the relationship of our creativity to those aspects of ourselves that we don't have conscious possession of.
Mm. And you know, that makes me think of Kate, you mentioned her grandmother. Mm. Oh, my goodness. One of the most moving pieces of writing for me of HD's is found in The Gift, in the chapter called The Secret. And the whole chapter is really this conversation between the 8-year-old HD and her grandmother, Mommily. And my grandmother lived with me when I was about that age. And my grandmother had dementia, what we now call dementia. And when you read this conversation, you can see that Mommily is time traveling between the present and the past. And sometimes she calls her granddaughter Hilda, which was her name. Sometimes she calls her grandmother, her granddaughter Helen. You know, she just keeps on confusing who Hilda is. And Hilda just, HD just goes with it. The family just goes with it. They don't correct grandma. They just go with it. And it's this beautiful, loving relationship between the two generations.
Well, and I have not finished, I've not had a chance to read The Gift fully, but from what I had read, Hilda's takeaway was that in some ways grandmother's jumping back and forth between times and place and whatever, why not go with? Why can't that be real too?
Yes.
Why can't that
exactly
be there?
Mm.
Yeah, and be valid?
Yeah.
And,
certainly, Seth, I think that we can claim HD for all time, but she only really spent, 10 years of her young life here and then in Europe most of her life.
That's right. HD spent her first 10 years here in Bethlehem. Then she spent her teenage years in Upper Darby outside of Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. Her father took a job at the University of Pennsylvania. She then studied at Bryn Mawr briefly, where she became close friends with Marianne Moore, a friendship she'd sustain all her life. And then she went to Europe in her late teenage years and basically spent the whole of her adult life as an expatriate.
Right. Well, we thank you so much for creating this event, for making us feel a part of our community, finding someone that we have not all known as Bethlehem history or Pennsylvania history. So A Year of HD, Finding HD, actually kicks off this Wednesday, November the 14th, with a public reading of HD's work presented by the Bethlehem at the Bethlehem City Hall Rotunda, 7 to 9. You know where it is.
Have we run out of time for we can't read a bit of her work, can we?
Oh, unfortunately.
You just have to come along Wednesday night to the Rotunda.
Special thanks, too, to Steve Aronson, our technical engineer, for his love of poetry, music, and making sure that we are on time, properly prepared, and vocally modulated. Thank you, Uncle Stevie.
You're welcome.
Thank you both very much.
Thank you,
Kate
so
and
much,
George.
Kate
it's a pleasure to be here.
Wonderful.